Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Pastor Jason is going to continue with our next message in our series. And, you know, we should just start at the beginning where every good story starts. Once upon a time.
Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. All right. Here's the thing. We're talking about this sermon series called Once Upon a Time, but there are no fairy tales. This is not about a fairy tale. This is not about this scripture not being completely true into God's word. And this morning, we're going to come to the next parable. We're going to continue on our sermon series, and what we're looking at is the parables of Jesus. And I want to set this up. If you haven't been here, or maybe you're new, or you're just going, okay, what's a parable? We find it in the New Testament, in the Gospels, where Jesus would teach with stories. How many of you like a good story? All right, we all like a good story. All right, Jesus would tell stories that people would recognize. And I think it's important when you look at these stories to understand the context that Jesus was telling the stories in, because a good story also has to be in the context of what's happening in society. And so when you go back to the New Testament, there were a lot of farmers. There were a lot of people that grew crops. There were a lot of people that would understand these stories about a field and about a seed and about all of these things like that Jesus is talking about. The other thing is, these stories are kind of like, have you ever been to the dentist and they have to put that big old Novocaine shot in your mouth, right? And all of a sudden the nurse is like jiggling it as that needle is the biggest needle I've ever seen, right? I hate it. I start sweating, and like if I could be under the floor out of that chair, I would be, all right? Jiggling it, but that's what Jesus would do with these truths. These truths would cut right down to the quick. He would call people out on these stories, and he's still doing it today as we read in the New Testament these stories. This was not just a pretty story time. Jesus would deal with some big things when we look at these stories. Jesus would deal with some deep spiritual truth calling people out. He started with the parable that Pastor Paula preached last week, the parable of the farmer scattering the seed. Jesus compared the soils that these seeds would land on to the condition of our hearts. And then what we would do as Jesus is the farmer, he's scattering that seed. Where's that seed going to go? Some of the seeds landed on the footpath and the birds ate those seeds right away. Okay? Some of us are so busy living life that we're on this footpath and there's not a minute that seeds can get deep because you're too busy and you haven't stopped. You're on this path, like nothing can stop me. Like I'm just going to keep going. And Jesus throws out the seed and it just lands on the footpath because you're too busy to let it get down in your heart. Okay. Some of the seeds landed, other seeds fell on soil with underlying rock and roots, good only so that the roots could go down so far. There's some people, and I think what Jesus was saying is, some of you, you've got a good heart, but it only goes so deep. Because it's rock when you get down to the bottom. It's rock. It's not good soil. Okay, you've let God do a little bit of work, but he wants to do the rest of it. He wants to get in there with that rototiller and rock, move that rocky sand and move that rock around. It's like here in town. Have you ever tried to build anything in White City? The soil is rough. You have a little bit of topsoil and then it's rock. Okay? I think there's some believers like that. They have a little bit of good soil, but they haven't let God heal their heart all the way. And those seeds, what happens is the roots only go so down so far. And I will tell you, I've seen this in ministry time and time again, where people come in, they get so excited, they start growing roots, but when it hits that rock and something bad happens, they're out of here. The Bible says the sun comes and withers that seed and it dies. Okay? There's people that fall into that category. They only allow God to till the soil of their heart so deep and then it stops. Because it's painful, because it's hard, because it takes big yeses, because it takes obedience to let God come in and till the soil of your heart. And I think people that have experienced a lot of trauma, people that have experienced a lot of hurt and pain in their lives, it's their defense mechanism. You can only get down so far. God can only get down so far. But when he starts to deal with the stuff that's painful, that's when you go, hey, no more. Don't touch that soil, right? Jesus went on to say other seeds fell among the thorns and grew up and it choked out the tender parts. Listen, don't be thorny. Some of you are thorny. Some of you are just like people get close to you and those thorns go popping up. All right. Then Jesus finished the parable saying that other seeds fell upon fertile ground. And the Bible tells us they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as they'd planted. That's called multiplication. And if you'll let God till the soil of your heart, and you'll become that kind of soil that when a seed falls, it grows deep. Those roots grow deep down inside of you. And it takes a lot of yeses. It takes a lot of heart obedience. It takes a lot of God. I'm going to do whatever it takes to let you till the soil of my soul. But when that seed goes in, wait to see what happens. And I think one of the things that you can look at in your life, when Jesus comes along and tries to plant a seed, what kind of crop do you have? Do you have a crop that's 30, 60, even 100 times as much as you'd been planted? I think that's one of those things. Lord, help me to have a life that when you come along and you want to do something, I'm going to see that kind of multiplication. Listen, the kingdom of God is about multiplication. It's not about division. It's not about subtraction. And it's not about addition, right? If you went to school and you know multiplication, man, it happens fast in your life when it starts to happen. Okay? So today we're going to jump into another parable, and Jesus again deals with farming. He dealt with the seed last time. Now he's going to talk about the field. He's going to talk about this parable where he talked about the kingdom of heaven. And every parable tells us a little bit more about what it looks like to live in the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? The kingdom of heaven, as you and I, we walk this out. We're not in the kingdom of this world. That's why you can't have a foot in both worlds. That's why you can't sit there and dabble with the world. Well, I'll do this, but then I'm going to be on this side with Jesus. I'm going to dabble with stuff that I know is of the world, but man, I'm going to have one foot in the world and one foot out. I will tell you this, what's going to happen is the world will pull you in. You can't have a foot in both worlds, right? And that's what Jesus was saying. The kingdom of heaven, and we're going to look at Matthew 13, 24, 30. Here it is. Here's another story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. Here we go, the seed again. Okay, what is the seed? It's God's word. It's God's promises. It's the things he wants to do in your life. But that night as the worker slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat, then slipped away. That stupid enemy. I hate a garden with weeds in it. How many of you love weeds? And especially those goat heads out here. I've talked about that before. When we're talking about those weeds are from the devil. I'm telling you right now. We used to have kids playing out here, and if you've been here for any amount of time, before we had the rock outside, we'd have kids playing outside, and they'd come in with like 8 goat heads on their feet when they took their shoes off, and I'm like, let's just rock it. Like, don't worry about putting grass in. Like, we are rocking this sucker so that there's no weeds that can come up. That's exactly, like, I love rock. You don't have to mow it. You don't have to worry about it. Just throw the rock on it and call it done. So if you wonder why we're blah rock, it's because of that. When the crop began to grow and to produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmer's workers went to him and said, "Sir, the field where you planted the good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from?" "An enemy has done this," the farmer exclaimed. "Should we pull out the weeds?" they asked. "No," he replied. "You'll uproot the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles, and burn them, and to put the wheat in the barn." The disciples then came to Jesus, and we're going to go to Matthew 13, 36 through 43. They said this, "Then leaving the crowds outside, Jesus went into the house. The disciples said, 'Please explain this story of the weeds in the field.' Jesus replied, 'The Son of Man is the farmer who plants the good seed. The field is the world, and the good seed represents the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. The enemy who planted the weeds among the wheat is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the harvesters are the angels. Just as the weeds are sorted out and burned in a field, so will be the end of the world. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will remove from his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And the angels will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." Here's what I want you to know. Some people in this in our world today, they don't believe there's a devil. They don't believe that hell is real. And I'm here to tell you, there's a devil and hell is real. People are going to go there, as well as people are going to go to heaven. You have to make a choice. We see this. This is the thing about Scripture. It's very clear. So don't let people twist that in your mind to say, well, there's not really a devil. How could Jesus do that? How could people go to hell? How could a good God send people to hell? God doesn't send anybody to hell. He gives a choice to give your life to Jesus. Let the good farmer come in and plant some good seed in your life. But people have a choice. There's a lot to unpack here. There's a corporate application of this parable and then a personal application. The parable helps us understand the world that we live in and the fact that good and evil will exist in this world at the same point. That's why you can never, don't ever ask this question. Well, how could a good God allow somebody to die? Because if you hear this scripture, there's weeds and wheat in the same field. God had nothing to do with that person dying. It was the moment that sin entered into the world. It's the moment that death entered into the world. We're going to experience this because sin entered into the world. Well, I'm mad at God that they took this person. Stop being mad at God and be mad at the enemy, because he's the one that brings death and destruction and all of those things that come along. But it's easier to blame God, because the enemy's sitting over that corner going, how could a good God do this? I can't believe that God would do that. He brings all this doubt in your mind. And some of us, we just got to shut him up and say, we know where this all came from. So I want to point out some keys to understanding the parable. First of all, understanding the meaning of this parable. Jesus clarified the spiritual significance of this parable to the disciples. And here's what I love. When the disciples said, come and explain this to us, Jesus, he didn't go, well, I can't believe that you're asking. No, he wants to clarify the things that are important. You got to ask him. Here's where we make a mistake, though, when we say, why? Why, God? You may not want to know the why. It's, write this down. What? What do you want me to do with this, God? It's not about the why. It's about the what. Jesus will always answer the what, but he may not answer the why. Okay? So understanding it, here it is. It's important to understand the images that Jesus is using. The farmer represents Jesus, the Son of Man. So you know that he's planting good seed in your garden. You know that he's planting good seed in your world. All right? We know that from before the first parable, where the farmer was putting seed. And seed are the good things of God, the gifts of God, the fruit of the Spirit, all of the things. The field is the world from this parable. The good seed are the people of the kingdom. So when you say yes to Jesus and you give your life to Jesus, you are now considered a good seed in the kingdom. And your job is to spread the gospel to everyone you know. That's when you get planted and you get planted in God's word and you let that grow deep. That's the outcome of that, is being somebody that really transforms the world around you. That means sharing the gospel with people you know. The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. There are people who've made that decision to say, I'm going to serve the evil one. And they may not have come out and just said it, but by their actions and how they live, it speaks very clearly. The enemy is the devil. The harvest is the end of this world, and the harvester is angels. So when you look at this, what are some lessons that you learn from this parable? First of all, good and evil will exist side by side in this world. That's why you see the battle. And listen, if there's no battle in your life, you better look what direction you're going, because the enemy doesn't mess with people who are going his direction. He messes with people who are standing up and saying, I'm going to make a difference in my world. This is not going to hold my family down anymore. I'm going to step up and I'm going to trust you, God, to go after the enemy. He has no room. One of the key lessons from this parable is they exist side by side. The enemy, identified as the devil in Jesus' explanation, actively works against the purposes of God. Just as the farmer's enemy tried to corrupt the crop, Satan seems to bring confusion, division, and destruction in our lives and in this world. So let's not be shocked when we see it. Let's not be shocked. Let's not buy into it. There are people in your life who the enemy has sent to bring destruction, division, disunity, and we buy into it, and then we wonder why our lives are not peaceful and we're not walking in the promises that God has given us. And I'm going to tell you, if your life is full of confusion, division, and destruction, you better look at what side you're on. Many people have wondered why evil persists. Here's the thing. Evil might persist, but it doesn't win. Let me tell you that again. It doesn't win. The enemy has no power over you unless you give it to him. And where do you give it to him? Right here. Right here. Buying into fear. Buying into stress. Buying into worry. We sometimes wonder, God, why don't you just remove all of the evil right now? This parable reminds us that God allows the righteous and the wicked to coexist for a season. He has a plan to deal with it all in his time, but we have to trust his timing. Here again, We have to look at God's timing. And that's where we get a little stressed, because rarely is God's timing our timing. We want it a lot faster. And you've heard me say this before. We serve a crock pot God in a microwave world. We want it in 2 minutes, where God says, listen, I need a little bit of time to work behind the scenes. How many of you love crock pot meals? Crock pot that's simmered and it's so good. And all that meat and all the, now, not with all the vegetables together, but just the meat, right? We love it, but we don't want to wait for it, because we want stuff now. But God has a plan. Jesus was very clear that we're going to face spiritual warfare in this world. And listen, when that root grows down deep and the enemy brings spiritual warfare, you're not going to wither up and die. You're going to stand up and say, I'm here for the battle. Bring it on. Let's go. And not only that, but if the enemy's messing with me, I'm taking 100 people to heaven with me. I'm taking everybody I know in my life with me, and I'm going to tell them about Jesus, because he changes life. Second thing is, judgment will come, and it's God's job alone to judge. It's not our job to be the judge. Jesus is clear that judgment's going to come, and when it comes, it'll be swift and serious. A good way to turn people off in your life who don't know Jesus, hey, if you don't give your life to Jesus, you're going to hell. Okay? That's not your job. Your job is to say, listen, I've got something better. Like, look what Jesus has done in my life. Look what he can do in your life. How many of you know broken people in your life who need Jesus? Everybody. You can do it by loving on them just like Jesus did. We need to be on guard that we don't fall into the weed category either. And we'll talk about that just a little bit. It's not our job to judge the weeds or decide who the weeds are. It's God's. Well, that person must be a weed. I just heard about it in church on Sunday. They might be on weed, but they're not a weed. We live in Oregon. I mean, come on. I'm not saying that's good. All right, move along. Take that off the recording. We don't need to be pointing other people out that are weeds. What we need to be doing is we need to be looking at our life to make sure we don't become a weed. Second, moving right along. God's patient. We have to trust God's patience and trust his timing. Listen, God's patience is not a sign of indifference, but it's of his mercy. Why? Because he delays judgment, not because he ignores evil, but because he desires people to turn to him. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us that God is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God is patient. God is kind. Don't take his patience and his kindness for granted as a license to sin. Well, there's just so much grace. We live in a world where it's cheap, slimy grace. Where we're like, oh, God's going to forgive me. God's going to forgive me for doing that stuff. Yes, it's true, but what do you lose in that process? God's going to forgive, but don't take that grace for granted. We never know, and here's what I want to tell you. You never know when your life is up. None of us are promised tomorrow. None of us are promised the next hour. So don't take it for granted. Don't take his grace for granted. Some of you, you've had a lot of grace in your life, and it's time to stop taking it for granted. Ooh, it got quiet in here. That's what Jesus was saying. Remember I told you these stories, they cut right to the quick. This is what he's saying. How many of you like it straight? I like it straight. Just tell it to me straight. And that's what Jesus was saying. Sometimes we, like the servants in the parable, want immediate justice. God, why would you do that? Why would you allow it? We want justice right away. We want to uproot what we perceive as evil. But God tells us, trust his process. It is not your job to uproot and judge. His delay allows room for transformation. How many of us were once lost living among the weeds, but by God's grace, we become part of this harvest? Don't ever forget where you came from, friends. Don't ever forget what God saved you from. Some of you have been in this a long time, and it's easy to forget where you were and what it's like to be lost. Maybe you've never been lost. Get around somebody that's been lost, and all of a sudden it changes your heart. To be so lost that you don't even know what the next step is. This parable also brings into focus the reality of the final judgment. Jesus speaks clearly about the end of the age. Those who reject him will face eternal separation, while his faithful followers will inherit his kingdom. And listen, I want this to be more than just fire insurance in our lives. I want us to live all that God has for us. I want us to let these roots grow down so deep. And that's what Jesus was saying. This should stir us to share the gospel and live with eternity in mind. I never want anybody in my life, listen very closely, I never want anybody in my life to look at me and say, you knew, but you didn't tell me. Guys, here's the reality. And I want to be very clear with you. Here's the reality. If you have family, if you have friends who are lost and don't know Jesus, until they make that decision, eternity is, they will be in hell for eternity. Let that sink in for just a minute. Pastor, it's not my job to judge. No, but there's something the scripture tells us. If a person has not given their lives to the Lord, and I never want anyone to look at me on their deathbed and say, you knew, but you never told me. You knew, but you were too afraid to tell me. You knew, but you never told me about this Jesus. Anytime I have an opportunity to share the gospel, I do it. I share my testimony. It's important to remember that believers have to give an account also for their lives, for everything that they've done or haven't done here on this earth. Hear me when I say this. You are going to have to answer for what you've done on this earth. Right? And you might go, Pastor, whoa, this is heavy. I'm telling you, these stories, these parables, Jesus cuts right to the quick. I told you, I prepared you for it. But listen to what the judgment seat of Christ, when we all stand before him, and this is not about a salvation thing, but it's about him saying, I gave you so much. Because scripture tells us, too much is given, much is required. Okay? That's what we know. And so Romans 14, 21 says, yes, each of you will give a personal account to God. He's going to ask you what you did with your life. Well, God, I was really busy, and I couldn't do anything for your kingdom, and I could barely show up. I was so busy, my schedule. Think about that for just a minute. Think about our excuses that we use to keep us away from doing things for the kingdom of God. It is so quiet. Happy President's Day. Keep in mind that you're going to have to give an... This is heavy, guys. Are you ready? This is a heavy scripture. Keep in mind, Matthew 12:36 says this, and I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. Will you say the word every? Well, Pastor, I just need to process verbally. Like, I just have to... Blah, blah, blah. I just have to get it out. Listen, you'll give an account for every idol. Well, Pastor, does that mean on Facebook too? 100%. It's a word. Some of you keyboard warriors. Well, I'm just really ticked. I just have come up to the conclusion that I'm not going to get into any arguments on Facebook. It's not worth it. Ignore, delete, report. That's all you got to do. That's all you have to do. Turn it off. Delete your Facebook account. All right? But I can't preach on something that would be hard for me to do too, so I'll have to pray about that. Evil won't always exist as we know it today. The key is always living ready. Key number three, and this is where it gets personal. This is the personal application. Keep an eye on what's going on in your garden. Keep an eye on what's going on in your garden. Our soul is a garden. Isaiah 58:11, the Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you're dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. It's important that you're keeping a close eye what's growing in your gardens. And here's the thing about a garden. There can be really good stuff growing right alongside of weeds. Some of you are ignoring your garden at home and there's weeds all over it, but you're still getting fruit out of it. That can happen in our life too. We can be producing fruit and there can be weeds growing right alongside of it at the same time. But here's the thing about weeds. They have one job to do, to ruin the good fruit. And as it grows, it will take more and more and more away from your garden, and it will distinguish the fruit that God is growing in your life. You can't ever sit there and go, well, you know what? I've got good things coming out, but I'm okay with this. I'm okay with this weed. Some of us protect them, actually. At least I'm not doing that. At least I'm not that bad. Look at that ugly goat head in that person's life when you've got one growing right at the same time. What's growing in your garden? This parable could be a warning to make sure that the enemy doesn't get into your garden and plant weeds. Listen, none of us are going to plant weeds. You don't have to. The enemy gets in there and starts pouring out the weed seed, and all of a sudden, you just have to stand up against it and say, Jesus, you have the right to come in and rototill my garden. You have the right to come in and pull the weeds out of my garden. Lord, in fact, please do it because I want all good fruit growing out of my garden. The good fruit of your life, the fruit of the Spirit. Some of us, we even fertilize these weeds. Well, that's a pretty, it's a wildflower. Look at that pretty wildflower. It's all yellow, and then there's thorns up and down. But we continue to fertilize those weeds. Here's what it takes to get rid of the weeds. You have to let Jesus come in and be the gardener. You got to stop trying to hold, well, Pastor, you don't know where that weed came from. That weed came from a lot of hard toil and work. That weed is ugly, and you need to let it go. The problem is the weeds will overtake the garden, and that's this whole idea of having a foot in both worlds. Well, I can play with this stuff, but as long as I've got some good fruit coming out of my life, listen, this stuff will distinguish all of the good fruit. So don't let it grow. Don't let it grow in your life. Allow God, the master gardener and pruner, to come in and pull the weeds out, to prune your life, to grow the kind of fruit that you've been called to as believers. And I'm telling you, you have to take this serious. It has to be something you put a focus on. I think so many of us, we just let life go by. We let the weeds grow because it's too much work. Hey, I know in a real garden, like I'm passing by that garden every time, I'm not pulling weeds.
That's true.
Uh-huh. I'm not a gardener. I hate those weeds. But you can't just ignore it. If you've got a weed growing, and you know what it is. I believe God's showing you those weeds that you need to pull up. It might be pride. It might be anger. It might be unforgiveness. It might be other people in your life that you need some weed killer. You need some Roundup. I was going to say WD-40, but that's not weed killer. You might need that WD-40 on those big old clippers that you're going to take in and let God cut those weeds off. John 15:1 takes us back to all of last year when we talked about, and I got to get going, I'm going to be quick here, talked about the fruit. John 15:1, I am the true grapevine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. He prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that it will produce even more. You've been pruned and purified by the message I've given you. Remain in me and I remain in you. You have been pruned and purified. So stop letting the weeds in. You're pruned and purified. You're ready to go. When Jesus comes in and changes your life, only you can allow those weeds to go. And listen, you have to allow the weeds to be pulled out by the roots. Don't just pull the leaves off of them. You've got to let God come in and pull them out by the roots. Yes, it could be a little bit painful, but when you get to the other side of it, there's going to be healing. That's why you need to be at Soul Care March 1st. Hear me when I say this. Good seed and wheat cannot coexist with the weeds. There's going to come a day when the weeds overtake the good fruit. And what are some of the weeds I've said? Unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, hatred, strife, comparison, hurt, trying to control everything. Remember, God plants the good seeds. The enemy plants the weeds. Don't fall for the enemy's trap. Root out everything that the enemy's tried to do. If you give him an inch, remember, he'll take a mile. And I want to tell you, his weeds grow fast. His weeds grow fast. That's why we need the gardener in our lives. I hope this has made sense to you today.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.